oh my gosh, I have a sign. I was just going to say, that's pretty dramatic too. That opening was pretty dramatic. There is supposed to be a boat right here. I can see it. Can you all imagine the boat right here? I'm Casey Bryant. I am the community pastor around here. I'm excited to be talking to you. As we saw, we're in the book of Acts. And we're in the book of Acts. We're talking about the early beginnings of the church and how God uses the unlikely people, how God uses people who are flawed. And I'm very excited to be talking to you about that. But before we get started, we're going to pray. Okay? So God, just thank you for today. Thank you for everybody in this room. God, I just ask that you use me so that they can hear what you have for them. That not only did you use people who were unlikely and flawed from the very beginning, but you're still using it today, people in this room today. I pray all of that in your name. Amen. 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 Love, yes. I love an amen back. I love an amen back. So when I was little, my twin brother and I would dress up as the Wonder Twins. Now, if you're of my age, and I will not say how old I am, but if you're of my age, late 70s, early 80s, there we go, the Wonder Twins was a cartoon. If you have no idea, I have an example. Some nostalgia for some people, and some people are like, oh, this is the Wonder Twins. So let's take a look. Who are the Wonder Twins? Oh, wait, we're going to have to do it again because we definitely need that sound. We definitely need that sound. Okay, ready? We're going to do this again. The Wonder Twins.
We've got to stay awake, Jaina. Wonder Twin powers activate.
Okay, who remembers that? Oh, way more. Way more than I thought. Wonder Twins activate. I mean, I love that. And because my brother and I were twins, which is why we liked them, and they were superheroes. So this is my brother and I acting as the Wonder Twins. Here we are. Oh, I mean, riding around on our big wheel. I got my bat, which was my sword. And we are wearing my brother's underwear on our heads. That is legit my brother's underwear. Why? I don't know. We thought underwear was the best head protection that you could have. We were kids. But my love of superheroes, is pretty ingrained because my mom also used to dress us up as superheroes. And of course, I have a picture of that because it's just so stinking cute. So here we are as Superman and Wonder Woman, and I think we were about a year old. I mean, look how cute I am. Look how cute. So I still love superheroes. But my superheroes have just kind of evolved just a little bit because I've gone from the world of DC Comics to the world of Marvel. And I know, before you come at me, I know you're not supposed to switch teams. Like, once you're DC, you're always DC. But listen, my DC friends. They're perfect. Superman, his only weakness is kryptonite. That's made up. That's not even a real thing. But Marvel heroes, man, those are like the most unlikely group of people. They have flaws. They have weaknesses, like human weaknesses, that are all relatable. Iron Man, he's an egotistical playboy. Spider-Man is an orphan teenager. And Captain America was a scrawny man that even the army denied during a war. The army didn't want him. But yet, they were used. They were the most unlikely group of people, the most flawed. And despite their flaws, they still saved the world numerous times. And this story isn't a new story of the most unlikely of the flaw being used, because guess what? God's been doing it since the beginning of time. He continues to use the most unlikely and the most flawed people for his power. So he uses Moses. Moses had a stutter. Esther was an orphan who became queen. Mary Magdalene was a prostitute. And even Paul, who was a murderer, he used. I mean, I think that's the worst kind of weakness is somebody who murders people, but that's just my opinion. That's my opinion. But what God does is he says he uses our weaknesses for his power. He uses our flaws, our weaknesses for his power. And I know that to be true because he says so. And he says it through the Apostle Paul, the murderer. Let's see what he says in 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9. As soon as I pull it up, here we go. It says, "But he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses so that the power of Christ may rest upon me.'" That's crazy. He's using our weaknesses, which gives us hope. And so as I talked about, he has all these different people in the Bible, Moses, Esther, Mary, Paul, that he uses. But today I'm going to talk about Peter, the Apostle Peter. Now, Peter was an uneducated fisherman. Oh, there it is. Look at, just imagine. There you are. There's Peter right behind me. He was an uneducated fisherman that really probably no one thought about. Actually, I know really no one thought about. And I'm sure he was pretty content in his life. But you know who noticed him? Jesus. Oh, there we go. There's the answer. Jesus noticed him. Jesus noticed him so much that not only did he become one of Jesus' disciples, Jesus said, "You are going to be the rock, the foundation, which I build my church on. And not even hell could destroy it." How crazy is that? Jesus said to Peter, he was going to be the rock, the foundation of the church. And guess what? Peter had flaws. Peter had many flaws, but we're really only going to focus, I'm going to only focus on three of those flaws today. And those are, Peter was prideful, he was inconsistent, and he was fearful. And we see Peter's pride coming out right after the Last Supper. So we just did communion together as a church. And soon after that, the disciples start arguing over who is the best disciple, who is the one that Jesus thinks is the top dog. And we all can relate to that, right? Because we all want to be number one, right? That's what we're told. You should be always strive to be first. Always you want to be the winner. And so that's what they're doing. They're arguing over who is the best. And they're telling Jesus, like, who is the best, Jesus? Tell us. But that's not how God works, right? God doesn't look for the best. And God uses Peter's weakness. He uses his weakness for his glory. And how he does it is through the Holy Spirit. And because of the Holy Spirit, Peter goes from being prideful to being humble. And that can only happen through the Holy Spirit. And we see it soon after the Holy Spirit comes upon them. Because Peter is asked to do something crazy. God asks Peter to go eat and talk and preach to the Gentiles, which just means non-Jewish people. Which was crazy back then because you do not talk to the Gentiles. Jewish people and Gentiles, they do not talk. And I'm sure there's some pride in Peter because he doesn't want to go do that. And I'm sure he was thinking, oh my gosh, if I have to go do that, I'm going to totally get called out by the other apostles. And he did. He absolutely did. In Acts 11, the other apostles say to him, like, dude, in my mind, this is how people talk. Peter talks today. It's like, dude, what are you doing sitting with the Gentiles? Why are you with them? And Peter's like, I get it. I understand. I'm not supposed to be eating with them. But guess what? God came to me in three different dreams saying to go to them, saying to go eat with them, saying to go preach to them. And after the third time, I was like, okay, God, I get it. You want me to go? Because sometimes God will give us some words and he'll keep nudging and nudging and nudging until we finally act. And so Peter finally acts. And he was like, and the crazy thing is, the Gentiles, one of them was hearing from God and they told him to come find me. So I did. So I went and I sat with them and I ate with them. And I preached the gospel, baptizing them in the Holy Spirit. It's a crazy, crazy kind of humble power of the Holy Spirit. And what I love best is what happens with the apostles. After they hear this, after they were saying, what are you doing? This is how they responded. In Acts 11:18, it says, when they heard this, they had no further objections and praised God, saying, so then, even to Gentiles, God has granted repentance that leads to life. That is a crazy, crazy, super kind of power. Super Holy Spirit kind of power that can not only humble you, but it can change your heart in an instant. I'm going to admit it, I'm no different than Peter. I too struggle with pride. And where I struggle with pride the most is in my marriage. Because you know why? I want to be right. And my husband wants to be right. And so we like to banter. I don't know if any of you understand this. Like to banter back and forth on who's right most of the time. Which then my husband will say he's right 99.9% of the time. Sometimes he'll say, I'm right 99.6. I'll give you 0.4. Which then I just roll my eyes at him. I'm like, whatever. Whatever. So anytime that I can prove that I'm right and shove it in my husband's face, guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to prove it. This happened last week, last Sunday, a week ago, during this service. My phone starts ringing, and so I excuse myself, and I go out and answer it, and it's my husband, who is with our son, Torin. So Doug and Torin went to go pick up some furniture for a friend of ours, and he's like, it's 11:30. Where's Clint? He's supposed to be helping us. The furniture is not even here. I go, I don't need to tell you. I'm in the middle of service. Figure it out, and I hang up with him. And I was stewing the whole service because I'm like, ooh, just wait. I'm going to show him my text message that says he's supposed to be there at 11:30, meeting Clint. And then I looked at my text message, and this is what it said. Tell Doug and Torin thank you for being willing. I hearted it, saying, yep, they don't need to be needed anymore. Oh, no. I'm wrong. So there's two ways that I can go through this. There's two ways that I can handle this. One, I can humble myself, say that I was wrong, ask for forgiveness, or I could blame Clint. And Clint, I think you're in this room right now, and you're a big boy. You can handle Doug being mad at you. I just didn't want to be wrong anymore. Guys, I really wanted to blame Clint. I really did. I did not want to have to tell my husband I was wrong. But I humbled myself. I did. I showed them the text saying, I led you on a wild goose chase for no reason. I'm sorry, my fault. Which they laughed and said they forgive me. But, you know, Doug did tell me that this is the reason why he's right 99.9% of the time. We've been married 22 years, guys. 22 years. And so, oh, thank you. And so when, and Doug said, it's no big deal. We actually ended up bonding in the car because I sent them all the way up to Montgomery. So they had a good hour in the car together. And I said, oh, my gosh, that's great. What'd you all talk about? Because, you know, I'm a nosy mom. I'm like, what'd you all talk about? He's like, nothing. We just sat in the car together, and that's how we bonded. I don't understand sons and fathers. Like, legitimately, that's how you bond, just sitting there next to each other, not doing nothing, whatever. I need information. I need information. The world will tell you that being prideful is important, that you should be prideful, that you should always strive to win. The world will actually even say that saying a little white lie to my husband is not a big deal, especially if it will make you, make me feel better, prove myself right. But that's not what God wants. God actually tells us to humble ourselves. God tells us to be prideful as being sinful. And in order to get closer, you have to be able to humble yourself. You have to be able to ask for forgiveness. And the only way you can do that is by asking the Holy Spirit to come in. Because pride is a thing that we don't want to give up. But that's what God is asking us to do. So the second thing about Peter that I notice is Peter is kind of inconsistent in his faith. We'll see that he has an extremely strong faith, and then we'll see him falter. And we can see that when Jesus is walking on water. And I love that I have this back here. So you can imagine the disciples are in a boat. They're in the middle of the lake, the middle of the water, and Jesus is on the shore. And so what Jesus does to get to them is he starts walking on water. And the disciples are like, oh my gosh, what's going on? Who is that? Who's out there? That's crazy. And Jesus is like, hey, don't worry, guys. It's just me. It's just me, Jesus, walking on water. No big deal. And Peter says, Jesus, if that's you, tell me to come out on the water. And Jesus is like, okay, come on out. And he does. Peter gets out of the boat and starts walking on water. But the minute the wind starts moving, the minute he starts to feel it, he freaks out and he starts to sink. He goes from having a strongest faith to walking on water to sinking and faltering within 30 seconds. And God gives us a clue on how to help. And he says this in Matthew 14:31. Because it says, immediately Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. He said, you of little faith. He said, why did you doubt? We will continue to be inconsistent. We will continue to doubt unless we rely on Jesus, unless we rely on the Holy Spirit. So what did the Holy Spirit do? How did the Holy Spirit take Peter? And he did. He took Peter from being inconsistent to being consistent. And we see that right as the Holy Spirit enters him, which is kind of crazy, I know. So I'm going to give you a little bit of background. So Jesus died, Jesus rose, and now Jesus is with the disciples. And he's telling them, he's telling the disciples, hey, listen up, guys. I am getting ready to ascend to heaven for good. But that's a good thing. Don't freak out. That's a good thing. You need that to happen because in order for you to receive the Holy Spirit, I have to go away. So once I go away, the Holy Spirit is going to come upon you and you're going to do things greater than me. That's what the Holy Spirit does. And you can do things that are way more powerful. And we see Peter go from inconsistent to consistent right after that happens. Because what he does is he goes right out and he starts preaching the gospel. He doesn't falter. He stands up and preaches the gospel. And this is what it says in Acts 2. It says, then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice, and addressed the crowd. He never missed a beat. He embraced his calling. He relinquished any doubt, any inconsistencies. And he converted over 3,000 people just that day. Think about that. In one day, he converted three times this room of people because he believed and he went into what the Holy Spirit had called him to do, which was to be consistent and preach the gospel. And one of my callings in life is to be a mom. I'm a mom of three, and I will be honest with you, with our oldest child, I think I have a picture of them up, which will be up here. Oh, there they are. So my oldest child is actually the girl hanging on one of the arms, and with her, her name is Belle. We tried really hard to be good parents. And with our middle child, Torin, the middle one, who is holding the girls, we tried to be good parents. And with the last one, Faith, poor Faith. I'm just happy if I know where she is. And so what happens when you tend to be inconsistent parents? Well, I have a video showing you what can happen with inconsistency parenting. Let's take a look.
Thanks, Mom. Yummy. I said the red plate. Not eating that.
I mean, who can relate? Who either has children or you're one of a child who understands that? Because that's my life right now. That is my life. And just tidbit for any new parent or people, I just want to give you a little advice that I have learned after three children. With Belle, I legitimately had 50 different outfits for her per day. You really only need two. You need two sleepers. And you just rotate those two sleepers, and then you're good. That's all you really need. But one thing that God has told us, is it okay to be inconsistent with your parenting? As long as you're consistent with me. As long as you're continuing to go after me, especially with our kids. And so that's one thing that we both agreed upon, that we both do. Where we would pray every night, and we still do pray every night, over our kids and with our kids. Faith and I read the Bible every single night, like I did with my older two. Because it's okay if we're inconsistent in other areas, as long as we're telling our children every single day that there is a God who loves them, who is going after them, and who has a purpose and a calling for them. You need to have consistency in your life to move forward. And I want to ask you a question. Where in your life do you need consistency? Is it just coming to church every Sunday? Or is it maybe picking up your Bible and actually reading it? And you can get that consistency. You can. You can ask for it through the Holy Spirit. And finally, one of Peter's last flaws that I want to tap into is his flaw and his weakness of being fearful, which I think we can all understand. And I see that especially with Peter when he denies Jesus. Peter is known for a lot of things. He is known for starting the church. He is known for walking on water. And he is also well known for being the disciple that denied Jesus three times. Even Jesus called it out in him. Even Jesus said, hey, Peter, guess what? Before the rooster crows three times, you're going to deny me three times. And Peter's like, no, I won't. See, there's his pride coming right back up. But I understand Peter's fear. I get it. You just watched your Messiah, the person who you said was a Messiah, your Savior, get arrested. And so what would that mean for you if you associated with him? Would that mean you would get arrested too? Because you're getting ready to watch him go to a cross. So what does that mean for you? I mean, I would have fear. And fear can be paralyzing. It can be so paralyzing that it can make you do something that you never thought you were going to do, which is deny Jesus 3 times. But then the Holy Spirit comes. And it can make Peter go from being fearful to being brave. And that can only happen with the Holy Spirit. Because what can happen is what we see Peter do is after receiving the Holy Spirit, soon after him and John, Peter and John, they're walking. They're walking to the temple and they see a man on the ground who was lame, who's been lame since birth. And he's begging for money, this man. And Peter says, I can't give you money, but guess what I can do for you? I can heal you in the name of Jesus. And the lame man's like, okay, and he does. He accepts Jesus, and he says, get up, and the man gets up. And it says he starts to walk and jump. Like, how much joy can he have? And a lot of people saw that happen around him. So he went from somebody who was fearful and didn't want the authorities and the elders to know what he was doing, to someone who was doing it openly in public for everybody to see. And he even got called out by the authority and the elders. And they said, how did you do this? What kind of power? This isn't real. This is, I don't know who you are. And so this is what Peter says to them. Bless you over there. In Acts 4:8, then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers and elders of the people, if we are being called to account today for an act of kindness shown to a man who has been lame and are being asked how we healed, then know this, you of all people of Israel, it is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, who you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, this man stand before you healed. Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, spoke in front of the elders, somebody who he was hiding for not too long ago. And the crazy thing is, Peter did die a pretty horrific death. It is said that Peter was crucified, but he was asked to be crucified upside down because he wasn't worthy of the same death as Jesus. That's a crazy kind of Holy Spirit. It's a crazy kind of Holy Spirit from somebody who was fearful, but to somebody who was so brave that they're willing to die a horrific death in the name of Jesus. Now, I have never been or have worried about dying a death on the cross, and I hope I never do. I hope I never do. But there is fear that I've had inside of me. I do have bits of fear, and they're typically smaller fears. One of them that I want to talk about is the fear of speaking. The first time I ever spoke on this stage was a very long time ago. I was so excited when I was asked to speak. I'm like, give me the microphone. Mic drop. I'll be amazing. But my big old ego and my pride was no match for the fear that was coming. And that fear was paralyzing. So much that I decided it would be great if I wrote everything down that I was supposed to say. Because then I wouldn't sound like an idiot or I wouldn't sound stupid. And I would be very, very smart. So I did. Some of you remember this. And I wrote it down on a program. Now, what's a program? Some of you are like, what's a program? A program used to be something we handed out. That was a piece of paper that had everything that was on it. Now, it's 2024, everybody. We just go to the website. Just the easiest way to do it. But the first time I ever spoke on the stage, I had my program with everything written on it. And this is what I did. I stood on the stage, very still, in one place, with my program, in my most monotone voice that you can think of. Hi, my name is Casey Bryant. I am the First Impressions Director. Look up, right? Because I tell you to look up, look up, look up. I make people feel welcomed. You should volunteer to be the welcome team? I mean, wasn't that super welcoming? Do you know how many people signed up to be on the volunteer team that day? Nobody. Nobody. I was bad. And I'm only standing here today because of the Holy Spirit. I am only standing here today because before I walk on the stage every single time, I say, Holy Spirit, just use me. Come in. Give me the right words to say. Because the fear still wants to creep in. But the Holy Spirit is way bigger than my fear. It is way bigger than your fear. We all struggle with pride or inconsistencies in our life or even fear. And the only way that we're able to conquer those is through the Holy Spirit. We can say, we can do it on our own. We can say that. We can be like, I got it. Don't worry. I don't need the Holy Spirit. I can conquer all of this on my own. And you can. But I'm going to tell you what, you're going to get really tired. You just need to ask the Holy Spirit to come in. Because the Holy Spirit, I guarantee, it wants to. It wants to use you. It wants to use the unlikely, the most flawed, and the weakest, which guess what, is us. So how do you access that? I'm going to give you 3 steps on how to access Holy Spirit transformation. And the 3 steps are 1, acknowledge. Acknowledge him. And that's going to take some humility. 2, you need to listen to him. And that's going to take consistency. Like maybe opening up your Bible and reading it. And 3, you're going to have to take a step towards him. You're going to have to take a step to whatever he's asking you to do, which takes bravery. Even if it's a small step, like asking someone to pray for you. Asking the Holy Spirit isn't just a one-time thing. You just don't say, okay, Holy Spirit, come in my life, and then you're done. It's something that you have to do every single day. It's something you have to acknowledge and listen and take a step every single day. God, thank you so much for everyone in this room. Thank you for the gift of the Holy Spirit, a gift that makes us everyday flawed people who have many weaknesses into your superheroes. Amen. Well, thank you all today for coming out. I really appreciate it. Thank you. Thank you. So there's a couple things. I love my sign. I'm going to take it for my office. So there's a couple things. Seriously, the Holy Spirit is asking you to take a step. There's a couple steps you can take. One of them is getting prayer. We have an amazing group of prayer volunteers who would love to pray for you. 2 is we have a connect event. If you want to take a step into getting into a group or signing up to volunteer, you can do the welcome team. Just don't be like me in a very monotone voice. Be very excited to be on the welcome team. You can do that. We have food for you that we want to connect you with. Next week, we're going to hear from our lead pastor, Kyle Ranson. Otherwise, have an amazing Sunday. I'll see you back next week.